Good morning. I'm going to start. We're on an extremely tight schedule this morning. Our guests are going to have to go off and meet with the Secretary of State soon after they leave us here. My name is Beth DeGrasse, and I am the coordinator of the Institute's Afghanistan Working Group. I also work in our Center for Post-Conflict Peace and Stability Operations. We are very, very pleased to be able to host two new members of Afghanistan's National Assembly, the first parliament that has convened in Afghanistan in more than 30 years. We entertain visitors, new members of parliament from post-conflict countries, but we're always mindful of the courage and sacrifice on your part as you take up your new duties on behalf of the Afghan people. The Honorable Saeed Hamid Ghalani has a long and distinguished career. He's an expert in Islamic jurisprudence, but like many of his fellow Afghans, he never got a chance to really apply that knowledge. Instead, he fought for his country against the Soviet occupation and rose to become second in command of the National Islamic Front of Afghanistan. Mr. Ghalani was appointed by President Karzai to the upper house of parliament and elected by his peers to serve as the first deputy speaker of the upper house. The Honorable Fazia Kufi carries on a unique family tradition. Her father was a member of Afghanistan's last democratic elected parliament more than 30 years ago. She's overcome much adversity to be elected to the lower house of the parliament and then elected again as a second deputy speaker of that body. Her career as an advocate for children and women's rights makes her a special spokesperson for many people in Afghanistan, not just her constituents. So we welcome them both, and we're going to ask them to speak from the podium, and then we will take your questions. Thank you.
Madam DeGrasse, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am extremely grateful for the compliments and showers of the words and kind words about my skills, though I thank you very much, but I don't think so I am that. That reminds me, we know that we have a very tight schedule, but I find it appropriate to give you this example. In Persian, or in Farsi, we have an expression that says, Nim tabib khatare jan, nim mula khatare iman. It means half doctor is a threat to your life, and half mula is a threat to your beliefs. And my father always tells people, don't listen to Hamid and don't take fatwas, because that will not help you in the day after. Anyway, thank you very much. Well, I'm delighted to be here. I thank you very much. And I thank the American people and the American administrations to be with us and to help us to be where we are today. On behalf of the upper house of the Parliament of Afghanistan, I thank you all. Peace is a God-gifted element. The right which God has given you, freedom and peace. We are thankful to Almighty. There is no doubt we had 30 years of a very, very turbulent situations, from the communist takeover to the Soviet occupation to Taliban, and you name it. And I salute my nation, my people, the Afghans, who under guidance, our guidance and leadership of the Mujahideen or their leaders, they made it possible not only to their own country, but much earlier to the world, to pave the road for a peaceful world. Now that we have passed those stages, and now that we have a parliament, an elected parliament, it is very much important to make sure to take every opportunity in making sure that the country, a country who has lived three decades of war and survived it, now that we are in the stage of the post-war or post-conflict situation, peace is very important. Because if you don't have peace, institutions, first of all, it's difficult to have them established, and if you have them, it's difficult to have them functional. Therefore, peace is the centerpiece of our all efforts. Now that we have the parliament, the world should not think that now that we have parliament, our obligations and your obligations, which as a result of a very effective and sound partnership in the past 26 years, helped us to be here, but that does not mean that's the end of the day or end of the game. To achieve something is not that very difficult, but to maintain it is even harder. So we expect all the freedom lovers of the world, all those countries who believe in democracy and peace, in particular the United States of America, don't forget us, don't ignore us, remember the heavy price you paid by doing so. We are very young, we are proud of ourselves, we are proud of you and this partnership. I sincerely believe that President Karzai's signing of the strategic partnership with the United States of America, people see it as a new event. But to me, it's a renewal of a commitment which was established 26 years ago when we first joined hands together in fighting the communism in the former Soviet Union. We are a very, very new democracy with a parliament which is still very fragile. It's very new. We are practically 2.5 weeks old. We should join hands. We need you. And to make sure that we have a solid foundation for our future activities and partnership, we both need to interact. We expect your delegations to come to Kabul, to talk to our parliamentarians, give them awareness programs, you know, so that they know their jurisdiction, their parameter of activities and responsibilities vis-a-vis the people of Afghanistan and the world and themselves. Our delegations to visit here, so that we should have a sound, sophisticated, matured educational system, so that we have a solid parliament, and this BB should grow in a very mature way. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm flattered, but please don't ask questions.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Madam President. It's my pleasure to be here with you today and to be here for the first time in the United States and to manage to meet the high decision-making people of the world in my first visit to the United States. I was honored to visit the to meet with the president and the first lady in my first visit to the United States. And we were joking that, what do I do next time? When
I told her you will have lunch with him.
We must thank the people and the government of United States for helping the Afghanistan people in moving ahead in bringing stability and peace and democracy in Afghanistan. Political-wise, Afghanistan was able to achieve the last steps of the Bonn government by establishing parliament and having parliament. Establishing parliament in Afghanistan was the last step that we committed ourselves in Bonn agreement. We were able to achieve and accomplish major achievement in this past 4 years, along with our international partners, led by the United States in Afghanistan. But yet we have certain problems and challenges to overcome. Social services in Afghanistan still remain weak and needs to be strengthened. We still have the highest maternal mortality in the world in Afghanistan. We managed to send 6.4 million children to school, but yet we need to provide them quality education and better facilities to access education. We have a huge number of women participation, both in politics and also in social affairs. But still, we have only 14% of women, literate women in Afghanistan. 86% of women are illiterate, and the literate women are settled in the main cities. So there is a huge gap between living in the cities and the rural areas women. Women who are here coming to visit you and standing in front of you basically don't represent majority of women in Afghanistan. If all women in Afghanistan were the same situation that we are now here in front of you, we had no problem of gender in Afghanistan. But yet we need to achieve and bring a balance of living in the rural areas and also in the cities. The parliament was established after 33 years, even more than some of us, the parliamentarians' age. So we have no experience of being the parliament member except to read the good experience of your country through books and the papers. We were expecting to face major challenges while being in the parliament, but luckily, we realized that things are very smooth and that all people of Afghanistan have one major goal to achieve, and that is to keep stability and peace in Afghanistan and to keep this newly born democracy and to let it, the baby, and to let it to grow properly. That is the major goal all the Afghanistan people and the parliamentary members have, which is a great positive sign of hope in Afghanistan. We were thinking in a parliament that you have a diverse parliament, that you have, different, as was stated earlier by my honorable colleague, stated that we have a parliament made of different capacities, different political background. You have Mujahideen, you have Taliban, you have Democrats, you have people who were working with the communist regime. You have women there. So we were thinking that we will face huge challenges, but luckily we believe that we all want to achieve one goal, and that is to reconstruction of Afghanistan, to keep this peace and security and democracy in Afghanistan. And for that, we need the assistance of our international colleagues, especially the United States. Luckily enough, 25% of seats in the parliament are reserved for women, but we have almost 30% woman presidency in the parliament, which is again another positive sign of keeping the situation as stable as it is. but yet we are trying and struggling to make our presidency the real participation and the real presidency in the parliament, not as a symbolic one. And again, for that, we need to have certain capacity, and we need the assistance and the exchange and experience of your countries and the, your good people. Security in general remains stable in Afghanistan after the fall of the Taliban regime. We have few incidents here and there, and the recent incidents which are copied basically from other countries. We didn't have suicide bomb attack before. It's a new imported culture to us, basically from the Middle East countries and from Iraq. Narcotic is an imported culture to Afghanistan. And it's the conflict situation which provided the ground for narcotics in Afghanistan. It's the first time in Afghanistan history that people are engaged with the trafficking and growth of narcotics. And I was talking to one of colleagues before we came to this meeting, and I said that people had no choice except to refer to narcotics. If we provide them the better opportunities, definitely we know that it's just a temporary business. We don't like this. And we hope that Afghanistan Parliament will be a means of positive and good changes all over the country, especially when it comes to narcotics and security. The Parliament is thinking to have certain policies and to implement those policies along with the respectable MPs. That is our aim, and we hope that we will be able to achieve that in the 5 years of Parliament period. I think I need to keep it short because we have to leave. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to assure you that the U.S. Institute of Peace hopes not only to keep its present programs on Afghanistan, but to increase our activities over the next year, few years. We know from other places that have emerged from conflict that now is not the time to abandon you. It's actually the time to increase support. So our chairman of our Afghanistan Working Group, Barnett Rubin, who was a member of the Afghan delegation to the London conference that just concluded, will actually be here next week on February 9th to brief on the results of that conference. So we hope you can all join us then. I am now going to take questions. If you could please go to the microphone that's over here, and please identify yourself.
Yeah. Good morning. I am Najiba Khalil from Voice of America, Afghanistan Service. My question is for Mr. Gilani. It is understood that among the members of both upper level and lower level of parliament, there are warlords, radical Muslims, and Taliban, under whose government women were considered as a lesser of human being, and they were not even allowed to get out of the house. I was wondering if for the past month and a half, what is the biggest challenge in that regard, and what is their attitude towards women? And I would like to hear from Ms. Kofi also in that regard.
Good. It was addressed to you first.
Thank you very much, but you didn't help me. You still ask question. For some of us, it may be troublesome to see that, you know, characters with certain identifications, which we see it as a threat to all what we have achieved, we find them all of a sudden part of the same institution. I can understand your concerns, but on the other hand, this is what democracy is all about. You let people choose their own choice. And they did. Why situation couldn't be otherwise? This is the question that mostly our friends in the West should answer. That is because they ignored their principal partners. The tragedy with the Western world is when you call upon your friends and your partners, strategic partners, to do something, they come up with the books that thick, says article so-and-so, page number so-and-so, chapter number so-and-so, does not permit us to interfere. Thank you very much, we are sorry. While other interests, they are making sure to take every step possible to have their friends achieve their goals and objectives. But it is democracy. They have chosen their people, and they are there. But I don't see it as a problem. So far, I'm definitely sure that Honorable Kofi will agree with me. And that surprised me, because the art of the coexistence, I thought this is something which doesn't mean anything in Afghanistan. But we see it, that they are performing it in a beautiful way. From the communists, ex-communists, to the ex-mujahideen, to the ex-Taliban, to you name it, different ethnic affiliations, different mentalities and perceptions, how beautifully they try to coexist and have the parliament functional. And we have seen it, and I'm sure, I'm very much impressed by one of Ms. Kofi's examples that she always presents, which I would like to hear it again and again. When she was elected, when she was running for the chair she's holding now, the deputy speakership, a Taliban member, ex-Taliban member, voted for her. And in order to have her believe him, he had made a smart move. He had the camera of his mobile telephone on, and he pictured that ballot when he was voting for Ms. Kofi. So I'm not worried about it. For me, sometimes I don't understand the logic of why it should be like this, and I explained, I think. But when it happened, I think we are managing it so far. Thank you.
I'll try to keep the answer very short, because very well explained by Honorable Gilani, and a good example. We have just started inaugurated the parliament, so we haven't gone so detailed in issues, and we yet didn't face any major challenge or problem. But we think that as we go on, and when we are on our top of the issues, then we may face some challenges, especially the woman. When we are making legislations, we all know that Islam is a complete religion. There is no principle in this world that is not principled in Quran. But the point is, there is a lack of understanding of Islam, which gives as a mean to people who want to use that. So we are thinking that maybe we will feel that or face that, and I hope it's not a big challenge. I hope we'll be able to overcome. And the example was given before is it gives you a hope that we don't have that major challenge.
Thank you. Please line up at the microphone to ask your questions, and I'm going to take a couple of questions in a row in the interest of time. Mark.
Hi. Mark Schneider, International Crisis Group. Thank you very much for the presentations, and we appreciate your being here with us. In a sense, this relates to your view of one of the major problems facing Afghanistan, which involves drug trafficking, and what the parliament can do, particularly as was noted earlier, that there are some within the parliament who apparently continue to have links with drug trafficking. And it'd be interesting to hear how you think the parliament can have an impact on this and what you think the United States government should do differently in terms of its counter-narcotics policy. At the moment, there seems to be a focus on eradication. Is that the right priority, or should it be on interdiction, or should it be on putting pressure on the government to rule out those who have links to drug trafficking from having any role in government? And in that regard, is the parliament going to look at the possibility of vetting those who would go into positions within the Ministry of Interior in order to assure that there are no drug trafficking linkages there? And a separate question, movement on transitional justice and the Human Rights Action Plan. Where do you see that moving?
Thank you very much. With regard to your first part of the question, with the exception of few corners and people, the desire of having Afghanistan a drug-free society or country, I think everybody wishes to have that achieved. And that includes members of the parliament. And definitely parliament will tackle these issues when the time comes. We are very much new. We need to proceed further to be in a position where then we can address these issues. But the question is, you said that there are drug dealers who are in the parliament. We allow them, if they were bad people, why they were permitted to enroll and qualify. And once they have qualified and there is no hurdle or any mechanism to stop them, and they are there, so let it be there. That's democracy again. How to control it? How to eradicate narcotics and drugs? I don't think so that there is any other way to eradicate drugs unless and until we do not eradicate those people and those interests who are involved in doing so. If we are in a position to grab anyone's neck and bring it to the justice, irrespective of its position or job, and bring it to justice, then I think we have taken a practical step on the road of an effective eradication of drugs. Thank you.
Well, to me, let me repeat my sentence that I said earlier, that it's the situation, the ground, which allowed the culture to be imported to Afghanistan, the conflict situation. We had no choice except, as a person who was living in Afghanistan throughout this period, except for some workshops and conferences that I had to go out, I was leaving. I believe this is the situation that made, we had no employment opportunity, no other option except to refer to an income. And we found drug trafficking as an income in Afghanistan. To me, people have voted for those people who you mentioned before, and they are now part of the parliament. People give a respect to them and a honor to be member of parliament. The very important point now that the international community and the government should take a step forward is the alternative. 70% of Afghanistan, let's be realistic, 70% of the Afghanistan economy is, especially in certain provinces, is running through drug trafficking. You cannot take that 70% of income from them unless you give them an alternative, a right alternative. Seeds and wheat distribution, we did have before that before, but we prefer to have a better income. and let's make people busy with other issues in the reconstruction process, the projects, the root construction. When they have a business, they will not refer to poverty. So alternative and a proper alternative livelihood will be the best way of eradication. Thank you.
Sir, and then I'm going to take also the next questioner.
My name is Abdul Kiyofetat, and I'm from the World Bank. This question is addressed to both honorable deputy speakers of the parliament. As we heard, some of your colleagues and peers have been implicated in human rights abuses. What is your strategy in dealing with them in future? This is my first part of the question. Second, Afghanistan is facing significant challenges in adopting best practice laws. Though some laws have already been adopted, such as law on banking, central bank law, law on finance, combating financing of terrorism, and anti-money laundering law, and new investment laws. But there are still other laws that are preconditions and prerequisites for international engagements in Afghanistan. Some of these laws may contradict with basic tenets of Islam, but they are very important for international engagements. So, as we heard that the parliament is combined from different groups, ex-Mujahideens, ex-Talibans, ex-communists, etc., how is your view about your success in adopting these laws in future? So, thank you very much.
May I take the next question, too? Thank you.
My question is relating to...
And could you identify yourself, please?
My name is Janine Meadows. I'm here with the United States Agency for International Development. My question is relating to education, which I know has been one of Ms. Kubi's specialties. What are the greatest successes and the greatest challenges you guys have faced? And what have you guys been doing that has worked, and how have you been addressing any challenges you've come up with, particularly in primary education?
Well, as I said, if we can have a mechanism, a body, who can bring people to justice, then we have solved your worries. About other issues, laws and rules pertaining to various fields, especially in the financial sector, which you have referred to, we are in the process of creating relevant committees to deal with all these issues that we may be faced with, including a commission or a committee for the financial affairs. I'm half mullah, don't forget that. Whenever there is a situation which there is no alternative to it in any field, and it has to take place and it has to be implemented, then we don't see it from the Islamic point of view any problem, serious problem with that, as long as it's not exaggerated and it's not run out of proportion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. First of all, there is no criteria or no assessment of who these people were. Everybody during the fighting was involved in a way, during the past situation, the conflict, was involved in a way in this situation. So we don't know who is who until and unless we have a clear assessment. But when it comes to Parliament, we believe that all people live in Afghanistan are citizens of the country and they have a right to live there. We are thinking of having a reconciliation, national reconciliation strategy and policy. And through that, we involve, maybe this is the best mechanism, we involve those people because they were the heroes of fighting, and we think they can be the heroes of reconstruction as well. In terms of the international instruments, based on the Afghanistan first article, the constitution, the first article of constitution, we are all Afghanistan, laws made in Afghanistan should be according to Sharia. So anything contradict Sharia is not acceptable and not allowed. Success and challenges in education. As I stated earlier, we have in primary special education, we have been able to successfully implement the back-to-school campaign after the Taliban regime and send around 4 to 5 million children in school. That is a big shoe for us. But now what to do in the quality and how to keep enroll those children in school. Going to school is one thing. Being in school is another thing. We have some areas that they have to walk 4 to 5 hours to reach a school. Accessibility and then the quality remains still a challenge for us. Thank you.
I'll take the two last questions, and then we're going to have to wrap this up. Thank you.
Good morning. Dan Consolator, for the sake of today, formerly USIP researcher. I'd like that, Mr. Gilani, you mentioned, but I'd like to ask both of you to address an issue that I think everyone in this room sort of we talk about, we hear about, and again, you mentioned there's likely to be among the many divides and divisions in Parliament some breakdown along ethnic lines, and it's written off often that there'll be blocks. I'm particularly interested to know about one particular group, and that is, and your thoughts on this. There is, I assume, or I think most of us assume, likely to develop a Pashtun bloc of some sort. I'd like you to tell us, if you would, do you see that developing now? And if so, any of the groups, Tajiks, Uzbeks, et cetera, but particularly the Pashtuns, what are the issues that they're likely to be most concerned about and advocate for, and particularly vis-a-vis United States presence and the increasing NATO and Western military presence? What positions are they likely to take, and what are their debates going to be?
The next question, please.
Yes, Edmund McWilliams, a retired Foreign Service officer. Quick follow-up question on narcotics. There's now discussion in the media of plans this spring for British and U.S. forces to be involved in crop eradication, opium eradication, possibly involving aerial spraying. What is the position of NIFA, and what is your position, please, on this prospect?
The question to our friend before Mr. McWilliams. We don't see this as a major problem. We see that we are in the process of formation of creating political, or in other words, parliamentary groups, and in the upper house, for instance, we have completed so far out of 8 required groups already 6, and it gives me great pleasure to see that the formation of these groups are not on ethnic basis but on like-mindedness, which is very encouraging. With regard to formations of blocs on ethnic grounds, as you refer to, and you refer to Pashtuns, I think Pashtuns are the most flexible entity in this practice and more understanding. So we don't see it as a serious or a major problem unless something happens that we are not aware of it at this stage. But with regard to Mr. McWilliams' question, which I'm delighted today to see him. I call him a man who has fallen victim of his foresightedness. Drugs, you asked me in capacity of NIFA, which is the National Islamic Front of Afghanistan, whether I'm with NIFA or I'm representing the upper house of Afghanistan, it doesn't matter in which context. We were, we are, and we will be against narcotics and cultivation of poppies in any form, in any part of Afghanistan. And if there is an effective mean of having them destroyed, we will be the very first one to support that. Thank you.
Fazi, I'll give you the last word.
Thank you. I have no comment on the first question. The second question, as I stated earlier, the government of Afghanistan and the parliament of Afghanistan are with the international efforts in terms of narcotic eradication and anti-narcotic efforts in Afghanistan. But we need to find the proper mechanism for that. The alternative, as I said earlier, we are not able to take 70% of income of people from them unless you provide them a proper alternative. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Mr. Gaizani and Madam Kufi for coming today. We hope that you return again, and we hope that you tell the Secretary of State that the Institute is very interested in expanding our activities in Afghanistan as well. Finally, we hope to see you in Kabul soon. So
thank you
very much. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.